Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, welcome to Speak for Yourself. I'm Jason Whitlock. That's Marcellus Wiley, that dude.
Yes, sir.
Coming up, LeVar Ball will be here, and we'll ask him why he's sounding off on the Lakers today.
And we'll tell you if the NBA is pushing back on LeBron James' latest power play. But we start every day with a Whitlock 21 minutes. What you got today, big dog?
Oh, I got a big one, Marcellus. Woo. I've asked for a clock today. I want to see if we can break yesterday's 21-minute record conversation about LeBron James being an only child and an affirmation junkie.
Let's do it.
All right, today we're going to talk about the Olympics and LeBron. The Olympics actually explain why I've become a more frequent critic of LeBron and his team. They entered the victimhood Olympics, and they're constantly taking home gold medals. What are the victimhood Olympics? It's a competition held every day over social media in general, and Twitter in particular, where athletes, celebrities, and media members compete for likes and retweets by wallowing in victimhood and wokeness. Colin Kaepernick is the GOAT of the victimhood Olympics. Unable to catch Michael Jordan on the basketball court, it appears LeBron has set his sights on catching Kaepernick as an Olympian. Last night, LeBron competed in the victimhood pole vault. Frustrated over his inability to land Anthony Davis via trade, LeBron took to Instagram to cast Harrison Barnes as a victim of the abusive Dallas Mavericks. LeBron wrote, quote, "So let me guess, this is cool because they had to do what was best for the franchise, right? Traded this man while he was literally playing in the game and had zero idea. I just want this narrative to start to get real slash change, and not when a player wants to be traded or leaves a franchise that he's selfish slash ungrateful, ungrateful player. But when they trade you, release, waive, cut, et cetera, it's best for them. I'm okay with both, honestly. Truly, I am. Just call a spade a spade." All right, the victimhood Olympics don't care about facts, but I do. The New York Times' Mark Stein reported the Mavs informed Barnes that he might be traded, and Harrison Barnes chose to play last night. That's a small detail in the grand scheme. What LeBron doesn't seem to understand is that happiness is based on expectation. NBA fans, aka customers, have an expectation that ownership and executives will control who is and who isn't on a team's roster. Like it or not, that's the expectation across sports and pretty much across the business world. Ownership has a level of privilege not extended to employees. The customers don't expect players to dictate where they will play. So, as professional athletes use their growing power to dictate when and where they will play, they shouldn't be shocked that fans slash customers express dissatisfaction. Unsatisfied expectations is at the heart of fan dissatisfaction with the modern day woke athlete. It's 2019, not 1968. Oppression, racism, and unfairness are exerted differently, less overtly, and less pervasively than in 1968. Mimicking the same tactics as John Carlos and Tommy Smith while earning hundreds of millions of dollars for playing a sport does not remotely land in the real, non-Twitter world the way these athletes think. The victimhood Olympics draw great ratings and reviews on Twitter. In the real world, it's seen as a phony performance. The culture and value of sports have little tolerance for victimhood. Sports are about conquerors, champions, and heroes, not victims. Fans and customers don't spend thousands of dollars buying tickets, jerseys, and shoes expecting to be scolded as racist or preached to by athletes about issues far more complicated than a tweet. Carlos and Smith had an easy-to-understand message. I want access to schools, shops, water fountains, the voting booth, etc. I want American freedom. The civil rights leaders of the time had a vision and a plan to make those things happen. I hate Trump. I hate the police. I want to pee in Starbucks without buying a drink. And the owners who created football and basketball leagues where primarily black players earn generational wealth have a slave owner's mentality? That's not a vision or a plan. That's a gold medalist in the victimhood Olympics. All right, joining the desk now are Fox Sports NBA analyst Iceberg Jim Jackson and NBA champion Dante Jones. Marcellus, we'll start with you. Even hotter than yesterday.
That's what I was thinking. What?
Is it unreasonable for LeBron and athletes, modern athletes, to think they should be on equal footing with ownership?
You two going to have my face on some victimhood Olympics right here. I got to quote my favorite album that I'm bumping right now. It's an old album, and it starts off with the intro. Dog Pound, are you ready? Gia, I am ready for this. I'm more with you than against you, Whitlock. I really thought it was eloquent. I do understand the substance of what you're saying. The issue that I will have is this. In ownership, what's inherent in the very definition of it is inequity and inequality. In ownership, think about it. Anything that you own, does anybody else have the same rights to what you own? It could be something as simple as your car keys or something as complex as your house or your businesses. Does anybody that touches that have the same amount of ownership than you? No, that's just what ownership is. So
why isn't that the beauty of ownership?
Because you should own more. If you own more, then you have the power. It's a pecking order. It's a dynamic. I respect that. Even as a player, if I want more power, I know that there is a limit to my power.
Buy something.
What'd you say?
If I'm a player, buy something.
That's what I'm saying. That's the beauty of it. So when LeBron is talking, he's not talking in the terms of exact literal definition. He's talking about in the spirit. Can you make this environment more cooperative, more of a partnership, a little more civic in terms of how we do business? And I respect that, but I want LeBron and every other player out there to know there is a limit to that. That's why I started off saying I'm more with you than against you. But players don't feel that way because we're the ones out there bleeding. We're the ones out there sweating. We're the ones out there doing the physical transactions. So we think that that's going to translate to full power. But it never will. We have very few minority owners. We have one in the NBA, Michael Jordan. We have one in the NFL down in Jacksonville. This is an ownership conversation at its core if you really want to talk about a level playing field, which will never exist as a player that's still on the court and field.
But and before the basketball players hop in, the NBA is putting LeBron in position to be an owner almost as soon as he retires.
It's good for basketball if he's an owner. I think
when he retires,
to have a different perspective on the ownership board so that it can build and be a better organization as a whole. I understand what you both are saying in ownership. You pay that money to have control over something.
You want to have
full control. But this game is evolving. And there are only a few stars that have the ability to do that. We're acting like athletes as a whole have a choice to designate where they're going and where they're not. That is not true. There are only about 5 to 10 guys, and that may 10 maybe even too much, that have that power to say, you know what? I want to be here. And it might not work all the time. It's not going to work for AD right now. And it might not work. And it didn't necessarily work for Kawhi. Kawhi didn't go where he wanted to. Paul George ended up going where he wanted to at the time. So it does not work. But I appreciate what AD did was, you know what, saying, you know what, I don't have any intentions of being here long term. And you know what, I owe this city something too, to be able to get something back for me. I may want to go here, but the bullying of it, I don't take it as that. I took it as AD looking out for the city of New Orleans to get something for me instead of me walking away and leaving you with nothing. So this is not, I understand what LeBron is saying, because there are some special players that come along that should be able to have a partnership with ownership, because ownership does not think about you when they get ready to get rid of you.
But who are those players? If Kawhi can't do it, AD can't do it.
They can try. And they can't necessarily do it. They can try.
Paul George can do it.
There are only a couple people that can try it.
We're down to a couple now, huh?
No. Five to ten that can try this move.
If I'm ownership, the partnership I'm willing to hand is that paycheck to LeBron or whoever those.
Just because you can't do anything you want to.
Agreed.
And the media is a part of the reason why players have this ability to do that.
Let me give you a better perspective from a workings man that been through trades and been through a lot of stuff in my career. Nobody's really had what I've been through. I had leverage my rookie year. I held out. I got the longest holdout in NBA history. I only played 28 games my rookie year because the Dallas Mavericks didn't want to pay me what the fourth pick was worth. So I chose to hold out. That's when I had leverage. I said, you know what? I'm not shortchanging myself on my first contract because you made a mistake drafting prior to me. You're going to pay me what I'm worth, and that's what happened. The second time, I'm in Houston. I get traded to New Orleans. I don't have leverage. But you know what? I was 33 years old, and I said, you know what? I'm tired of the NBA controlling where I'm going. I'm not going to New Orleans. Talked to the management, and they said, well, why don't you want to come? And I gave them my reasons. They said, we'll fine you if you don't come. I said, you know what? My peace of mind and my happiness is more important than that. I'll make it up. And eventually I got to the Phoenix Suns and was able to get into the playoffs and in a better situation. The two times I had a chance to have control, one was leverage, and one was when I knew I had to give up something to get something. So I understand. See, my thing with ownership is you're going to make a trade no matter what. Just be honest with me, okay?
If this As is, they were with Harrison Barnes.
Exactly. But here's my thing. I've been through it. Larry Brown told me, Jimmy, when I was at the Sixers, I want to get you to a playoff team. I'm talking to San Antonio. I said, you know what? Thank you very much. Later that day, they traded me to Golden State. Why even do that? The level of trust is what I'm talking about. And players, to me, if you tell me what's going on, Pat Riley did it. Said, Jimmy, I need to see if Dwayne Wade and Caron Butler can play. You deserve to start, but I got a slot for you. You can choose to come back. Now the decision is on me. So to me, the fine line is ownership can do what they want. Just be honest with what you're doing.
I would agree, but let's don't remove humans and life from ownership. And so again, we enter into marriages and into relationships and don't live up to our words a lot of times.
You can't expect a player not to get upset when you sit here and don't be honest with them. It's the same thing.
Can I give you a little perspective on something? Because I don't have a problem with the top being able to flex because the bottom don't have the ability to. So personally, I've been in situations where I get traded to a team and all you ask for as a player when you're getting paid is the opportunity to grow and the opportunity to have success. If I work hard for it, can I achieve it? I had a coach to tell me, you know what, you deserve to play, but I ain't gonna play you. And I know you're a free agent coming up. And you know what? And if you don't do what I tell you exactly, like you have 10 plus years in this league and you have to show up 2 hours with the rookies while other people are laughing at you who have less experience than you, watching you being treated like a rookie. Yeah, you have all these things going for you, but I just don't like you, and one of my friends don't like you. And if you don't do what I say, I have a power to affect your free agency coming up. You have a power to affect my life, the way I provide for my kids. You have that power, and you're flexing it on me as your organization does, because all it takes at that point in time is, you know what, you didn't do what I asked you to? I'm going to go tell my friend.
Exactly.
I'm going to go tell him and spread a rumor about you. So the bottom doesn't have that power. The bottom has to be held hostage according to whatever the organization wants to do to them. So all I'm saying is, if the top has a little bit of flexibility to try something, I don't have a problem with it, because you treat people, if you're paying them, however you want. You affect lives, and you affect other people's families whenever you want to.
That sounds like an irresponsible, out-of-control head coach who probably didn't have a lot of success in the league. And ownership should probably step in and do something about it. Here's where I would be on LeBron and the top player side. Because, again, this whole thing of I want as much power as ownership, I'm telling you, it's going to backfire. It is in the process of backfiring. What the guys at the top should be, because the only way to increase their partnership to me is to demand more money. You know what? Instead of me making $30 million, pay me $100 million. That's what the guys should get, because that's what you can get from ownership as a player. this thing of somehow you're going to control and dictate this league and we're going to run it for me and my agent, it's blowing up in their face. And if I was NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball ownership, I would be against it. I've earned the right and purchased the right to control this league. My fans and my customer base have an expectation that we are in control of this league, not the players. Can we shower the players with enough money? And LeBron's certainly going to make enough of it that soon enough he'll be in the same chair as Michael Jordan and he'll be an owner and he can flex his muscle as an owner.
Yeah, it's weird, man. I mean, I understand. Like, you always have to understand in any partnership what the other side of the table is thinking. And like you said, what is their ability to flex? In sports, coaches used to always tell us it's a privilege, not a birthright. Remember, we're the most discriminatory public venue and medium that exists in this world. And you're like, what does that mean? And they're like, we could tell you right now from day one, you're too old, you're too slow, you're too fat, you're too sorry. And we get away with this. Mm-hmm. So just remember, the gates to even becoming a pro athlete is somebody is sitting there discriminating against you, your powers, and your abilities. It doesn't stop when they start paying you. Like, whoever's on your payroll, and I have a nanny, let's just go there, employees, whatever. No matter how much you pay them, they still can't come up to you and tell you what you need to do in your house. No matter how much you love them, respect them, and work with them. It could be cooperative. It could be a partnership. But there's still inequity there. And I think LeBron is starting to run against some of that, no matter how powerful he is as a player.
All right, we're 15 minutes in.
Oh, that's not enough. 15,
and I just quickly, I want to get to the other part, to the hottest part of this topic.
Whoa.
to the most controversial. Again, athletes to me. And LeBron is caught up in it. Again, we've talked about social media this week, and I'm right there again. We're wallowing too much in victimhood. It's the wrong thing for the sport and the brand and the industry and the business they're in. It's the wrong approach.
Now you lose me. Because what is the right approach to express displeasure, issues? And you got to remember, in athletic realms, we don't have HR, like, necessarily. It's really the podium and the microphone, you know. You can go to HR if you want to. That person goes to the coaches because he's in the coaches meeting. That person talks to the owner. Next thing you know, why am I not playing? Why am I not reaching my bonuses? So it's weird that what has changed in our dynamic is that public expression is our power. So you have to express displeasure in a public forum to get the public on your side. And that public pressure is one of the few things that moves ownership. It certainly moves them faster than player pressure coming from underneath them as they feel. It's from the outside, the people who are participating, the viewers, the one who comes to the stadium. So I'm not mad at a guy who's just like, look, there's a difference between me whining and looking like a victim or me just expressing fact-based issues and concern.
I just think whatever you do needs to be effective. And again,
yeah,
I keep talking about the previous generation. What they had a plan, a vision, it was effective. What we're doing now is winning Twitter, and we're not effective. But that's my complaint.
I don't think that they had a necessarily foolproof plan on what they were doing, and it was going to work, and these are guaranteed results if we do this. They took a chance. They did something. They used their platform to stand up for things that they believed in. And the athlete right now is in a perplexing situation. Honestly and truthfully, they have a platform, they have a voice, they have things that they care about. So there's no right equation for those things. They feel the social responsibility of trying to make their world better. It may be wrong sometimes, the way they do it, the way that what they say, but they're trying to make the world that they live in a better place by having the social media platforms that they have right now. And I can't tell them that they're wrong, because if it comes from a genuine place, then you got to do what you have to try things in order for them, because we remember
I agree with you. But the only thing is, you know a lot more about being in shape than I do. If you saw me inappropriately working out at the gym, or me, hey, I want to lose weight, but you saw me eating a double cheeseburger every day and thinking I was going to, you would like be like, hey, man, that's the wrong approach. That's all I've been trying to do. And this whole Twitter madness is the wrong approach. It's not being effective. It's polarizing the athlete more than making them a vehicle for actual change.
Well, I don't know about that. I think it's how you use the social media outlet. I think that's what you're talking about, because the post that LeBron James made had merit to it, but it wasn't based on the true facts that Dallas already spoke about him. So now you can dig holes into that aspect. Because no, Harrison Barnes chose to play.
Did you see Harrison Barnes' face?
I know, but
it's still going to hurt.
Do we really know that as a fact basis?
His agent said that he knew about it.
Okay,
his agent said. That doesn't make it easier. Okay, so I commend Harrison Barnes for going through with it. So I do believe social media starts the conversations when it's used correctly and you have fact-based information. Because in today's world, that's how we get the news and media out. That's how we get our information out. Everybody's not going to agree with what I want to do or what LeBron wants, no matter how right he is. They're always going to pick holes. But what it begins to do, if it's factually correct, is start the conversation. And in the league, trust me, owners, general managers, personnel, presidents, when they see things happening like this, they're having conversations about it, especially with their key players that they got to hold on to. How does this conversation affect me in my locker room? They're having conversations about that.
We're not going to break yesterday's record. We're at 1922.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go. I got one final thought.
Marcel. All I want to say is I'm with Whitlock in terms of everything must materialize and monetize. Like, I'm from where I'm from and how the cause, I separate individuals from the cause, like in church, you know, the messenger from the message. The same thing with this for the T-shirt community on Twitter and for the clickbait community on Twitter with causes, it's really discouraging to me because there are too many community activists that I've talked to, PhD educated people who say, how come the athletes with their platform doesn't marry us with our understandings and educations, then we can really push this forward. Too many times it's just like us opening up a second business while we're active. You know, you're not fully versed on that. So there are too many people who are sitting there like, with your attention and your platform, please bring that to us where we're on the ground level with real education. We can make this marriage. But a lot of times athletes just want to go out there and do it themselves. Fine. I'm not mad at that, but it needs to materialize and monetize or else it's
I want to say one thing before we go to the athletes that are faith-based and have any Christianity or religious base in them. Just understand this about the Bible, and it's not about victimhood. The reason to embrace faith and God, it's not about victimhood. It's about being a champion and being a light unto the world. And so this is where I'm very suspicious about this whole victimhood mentality, because if you really understand the purpose of God and faith, it's not about being a victim. It's about being a light unto the world and leading a life that shows people how to accomplish the things that they want to accomplish. We are wallowing too much in victimhood. They've created a hell on earth called Twitter, and we are letting that be the guide rather than a higher power. And that's just for the athletes that are faith-based. Those of you that's not for you, it's not for everybody. All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley.
Yeah.
We're joined now by one of the most polarizing and interesting people in basketball, LeVar Ball. LeVar, I think people are expecting sparks to fly, but I got to be honest with you. I'm coming off a three-day fast. I'm on such a spiritual high now.
That's good.
Hey, yes. Listen, I heard you say something today on Undisputed that I've heard you mention before, and it led me to an interesting epiphany about you. Mm-hmm. You talked about being 6'6" mm-hmm. and your wife being 6'1".
Yes.
And it made me this afternoon go, this dude's had a vision for 20 years.
Yes.
It just didn't come up that the reason why he talks this way is because you've been thinking this way for 20 plus years.
Yes.
This is all a plan.
Right. It's all a plan, man. And like I said before, it might sound wild in the beginning, but if you believe in something, it's not wild.
Mm. And so when you met your wife and married her,
yes.
I believe, listening to you today, is like, he was like, oh, I'm going to have some great athletic kids.
Yes.
And if I have some sons.
No, if. I'm going to have some sons.
And they're going to?
They're going to be boys. I don't produce but nothing but boys. My brothers and them, they're a little weak. They got some girls. But me, I have 10 boys before I have one girl.
I'm not talking.
That's just how I am.
I just had a girl, but I'm going to let you live. Nah.
You all right? You strong still?
yeah,
you good?
But I'm not. This was a plan.
This was a plan. It was definitely a plan. I mean, like, growing up, especially when you're in sports, you know about this. The short ones are the bad ones. So when you get a nice girl that's sexy and tall, most tall girls are shoulder slouched. They don't want to be tall. They can't talk to everybody.
because you're 6'1", and guys is 5'10", for you can put them heels on, you're 6'3", now. When you big and sexy like my man right here, we can talk to the 6'5", the 6-footers. You might have a little problem, because you at the thing, they be looking at you down like this.
Man.
So it's all good. So once you find one that's compatible to you, as far as she was beautiful in the sports, smart, it's a perfect match for me.
Look, I've always had deep respect for you for that plan. Obviously, privily for knowing you for so many years, knowing your brother, went to school with your brother, same neighborhood. So all this stuff up here is not free merch.
Man, no.
I bought this because I support. Go after all
you
the
do support. And I have to give you love on that, man, because you know how a lot of brothers, everybody wants something for free. But you're the only one that at your level is going out and supporting and buying. Because I told him, I said, if I gave everything away for free, I wouldn't have a business.
There it is.
And then I also tell the youngsters, I say, hey, man. They say, look, Big Ball, hook me up. I said, no, how about you go work for it, buy it, and then you never owe me nothing. Mm. And that way, you bought it on your own. You don't be like, LeVar, I bought your stuff, so give me this now.
Right, right.
And I don't be like, well, I gave you that free, so why don't you go tell 100 people to go buy it? Now you got to work for me, you got to do something for me. Yeah. But if you go buy it on your own, You don't have no reason.
We ain't got that payola going on. But I got a question since I've been knowing you for so long and the plan for so long. What are you trying to accomplish for Lonzo today for a lot of the comments that are coming out?
I'm accomplishing this, and I'm always looking out for my boys, man. I gave the Lakers the first right of refusal to get all three of my boys. But if you don't have the confidence in my boy doing what he does, let him go. Trade him. I already told him from day one. It'll be the worst thing you ever do if you trade my son. And they think I'm playing. They'll never win a championship once my son is gone. Never. Trust me. You can watch them for 20 years and they won't get a championship if my boys are not there.
So was your strategy today in doing these interviews to force a trade?
It's a force a trade. This is what I'm saying. If Luke is going to be there, trade him. If you're going to fire Luke, Lonzo could stay. The best coach on that team right now, anytime you get rid of a head coach, is the assistant coach, which is Brian Shaw. He got more relationships and knows the team already. They'll play for him. Don't go out looking for no big-time coach. He's sitting right there anytime, just like when LeBron was with Cleveland, Black. Tyronn Lue knew everybody, knew all how to put the pieces, but he's not going to tell this guy all the answers to the test, and he's going to take the credit for what he's telling him. So he just let the time go. Guess what? You go. Now he's the head coach. Now he win a championship.
I just want to confirm. Today, were you thinking – either Lonzo's going to get traded or I'm going to force the Lakers to fire Luke Walton. Is that the goal?
That's the goal right there. Because, look, Luke don't know what to do with Zoe. And he has no loyalty to him, man. I mean, if you play him 6 minutes, take him out, don't start him the fourth quarter, what is that telling you?
What does your son think of this goal? And
but Lonzo's like this, man. He's going to go with the flow, do whatever you want. What I mean by that, if you trade him, he's going to go good. If you keep him, he's going to do what you want him to do. On the fact, the way he raised, he don't have no attitude. Me, I'm going to go. It's just like when he gets subbed. He don't want to be subbed, but he goes to the end of the bench. Don't put his feet out and pout, but put the little thing in his mouth. I don't like him sitting with stuff in his mouth while he's sitting on the bench, but it shows me the frustration because he loves to play. He's been playing all his life and playing the whole game. Now you get in here and you're a spot player, you're a role player. They're trying to make him dribble the ball up, go in the corner, play hella D. Now you want him as a 3-and-D guy because in the corner, all you can do is shoot the three. You can't do nothing else.
Well, LeVar, you know the trade deadline passed already, so your son ain't going nowhere.
if he ain't going nowhere, I'm good with that, as long as Luke's not there. Because I'll tell you what, here's the thing. I'm not losing any situation. If Lonzo was there and you keep him there, and he played with AD and LeBron, you got a chance to get a chance.
But how do you expect these words to land with Luke Walton and affect the relationship between him and Lonzo?
I don't expect him. The relationship with him and Lonzo has been gone. Been gone. You do not believe in him like that. When Lonzo came out, as everybody, and this is why I say he's the worst coach, because you're not getting the best out of him. Every coach has believed in Lonzo, said, here's the keys, man. Go do what you
Doesn't
do, which is win.
Doesn't he have to coach the whole team?
Huh?
Doesn't he have to coach the whole team? It's got to be more than just Lonzo?
No. Here's what Lonzo does. Only if Lonzo doesn't do this. If Lonzo's an independent player, scores 30 and 40 points and only worries about him, that's the difference. Lonzo makes everybody on the team better. You don't hear about, and think about it, you don't hear about T.J. Leaf, E.K., you don't hear about nobody from the UCLA. Lonzo made all them guys better. That's why you get drafted. Lonzo makes Kuzma better, Ingram better, Hart better, anybody who's out there. Now, Lonzo ain't out there. They look raggedy.
Okay, how about this, LeVar? These attacks on Luke Walton. Everybody in the in the NBA is watching.
They're not
attacks. It's not an NBA coach or a coach anywhere that wants to be criticized publicly this loudly by a player's father. Are you not concerned you're damaging?
I'm not damaging nothing for Lonzo on the fact that he has a contract. He's doing what he loves to do. I'm stating my opinion, and don't be mad at me because I'm right. I said he lost the team last time. And now it comes full circle again. He lost it again where they're trying to beat him up in the locker room. Now, don't be mad at me because I'm right.
Now, who is running this team, all right? If he lost the team, is it LeBron? Is it Magic? Who's running it?
As you can tell, nobody. The thing is going in disarray. Magic said he's the face of the program, but I guess you didn't tell Luke Walton that because you got him playing spot minutes. You got four or five different people dribbling the ball up. I can imagine Pat Riley saying, you know what, Magic? You go down there since you're big, let Worthy bring it up this time, and then we're going to let Byron Scott bring it up the next time. Magic said, give me that ball and you run. And that's what you're supposed to do with Lonzo. Give him the ball. You other suckers, go on down there and run the lane. Let him throw these long passes. Let's be effective with it. Don't say what Luke and him been telling him, Lonzo don't have to score for us to be good and do this. But now you're telling him to make threes and make free throws. Well, why don't you tell him to score? He's been a scorer all his life, and then he get over here and you say, oh, we don't need him to score. We just need him to do what he does. Man, I'm not trying to hear that. I told Lonzo, you need to score the ball, son.
LeVar, and I know Marcellus knows this because he's close to Magic. You're a businessman here in Los Angeles.
Yes.
You're going to war, basically, with Magic Johnson.
I'm not going to war with Magic Johnson.
These
words can do whatever they want. Here's the difference. Here's the difference right here. I'm not your regular dude. I'm not trying to be in no war with nobody. I don't need to be in no war with. Magic can't do nothing for me. He can't tell me nothing. Just like people like, oh, LeVar's being quiet because of LeBron and Magic. Can't nobody tell me to be quiet? Why? I got my own brand. I'm my own man. Whatever you do is fine. I'm going to show you something that you've never seen before. Look, in Los Angeles, whatever. You ain't going to never see an Afro-American man on water. This is my son. He's on the bottle. But he got on yellow and purple. But see, if he was Lakers gear, he'd be on here naked. But I got my own brand. Son, you on there. That's you, on water. Magic Johnson ain't been on no water. LeBron ain't been on no water. They ain't gonna put a brother on the face of nothing on
Magic
no liquid.
Magic is an icon here in LA, friends everywhere throughout the business community. I don't see why this, why is this a good play for you?
It's not even about playing. It's I can do what I do because you're not going to stop me from going on. What I'm saying is everybody be stuck on the thing talking about, oh, if Lonzo don't do this, the brand's going to suck. The brand is good. Okay, so it's not about bowing down to people and saying, look, if Magic was like this, like LeVar, he the face, we're going to get these people around him. I said, do what's best for Lonzo. I had a talk with him before in words. What he said he was going to do, didn't do. So now I bag up off of that. And it's fine. You don't even give my other son a chance to play with his brother. How does that not happen? Hold on. Everybody plays with their brother. From Steph Curry to what's that other boy name? Cousins play with his brother. Everybody, if your brother, Dragic, whatever his name is, everybody get a shot with the brother. How come Jello don't get a shot? Because it looks like this now. Oh, LeVar is running the Lakers. He didn't even get a chance to see how he plays with his brother.
There's 29 other teams in the NBA.
Right.
LeVar.
29 other teams, okay.
They have a chance to sign your son. Look, Marcellus can tell you, and I know you're closer to Marcellus.
Right.
Professional sports are very political.
Everything is political.
It's not a meritocracy.
Everything is political.
You're taking on Magic Johnson. You have a young 18-year-old.
He's one of the most powerful guys
in the NBA.
Who is he, though?
You have an 18-year-old son that's 6'7", that has talent to get into the NBA.
You think Magic's going to get my son to the NBA?
Hey, man.
I'm going to tell you something.
They make a lot of money with
Magic,
man.
Are your comments helping or hurting the cause? Because they're not going to be indifferent. They're not going to be received indifferent.
I don't care how they receive.
Magic's a huge brand for the NBA.
He's a huge brand for the Lakers.
For the NBA,
For the
man.
NBA, okay, who's he getting in the NBA? Who's he developing? Who's on his payroll? I mean, come on. Here's the thing. When you're a boss like me, you do what you want. You say what you want. These guys are not bosses. Just like everybody in here except for me, is an employee. So you can't say nothing crazy on this thing. I didn't say anything crazy, jump off this roof and go about my business. Me and my brother get out of here right now and won't nobody say nothing. You know why? Because we can't. Ain't nobody going to call me and say, LeVar, why'd you leave? Get your butt back over
okay,
there.
Okay, you a boss.
I'm just saying. No, so don't look at me like that as far as this one when they say, nobody has a say-so. Don't worry about my son. He's going to be fine.
Okay, let's talk about the boss and the brand, Triple B.
Yes.
You hear some positive things? Look, I'm a supporter.
Yes.
What's the state of affairs with Triple B? You hear about the orders being late, all this?
Triple
B's. What's good, what's bad, what's ugly?
Okay.
Right now. Let's break it down for real.
The Triple B's is good, as you can tell. And the reason being is the Triple B's, we shouldn't even be talked about right now. We should have had a T-shirt. Lonzo got drafted, and that's it for the balls. Here we got hats, shirts, shoes, water. We're growing. Here's the thing. You looking at me and people looking at me as Lonzo's dad, not as the CEO of the big baller brand. I'm going to be in your face for a long time on the fact that I'm always doing something growing with the company. So you can't be like, we ain't heard from LeVar. Just like people said, did they put a muzzle on him? No, you didn't hear from me because I got a blue book that had me in Europe. And I'm talking loud as heck over in Germany, London, France, wherever I'm at, European, they know about my boys and this water. And they can't even speak English. And they say, big baller brand. I'm not local. I'm not regional. LeVar, I'm global.
LeVar, I respect that you've had a vision for more than 20 years.
Yes.
But when... sometimes it doesn't come the way you want it to come. Can you adjust?
Hey,
three of your boys may not play in the NBA.
Here's the thing.
All of Archie Manning's sons didn't play in the NFL.
Right. You know what? Just like they tell me, all my boys playing on the same team, 1 billion to 1 odds. Shoot, 4 billion to 1. 4 billion odds to have your own brand and come in the league with your own brand. I'll do that. I ain't gonna adjust to nothing. You know why? Because I'm gonna make it my way. I don't have to adjust. You have to adjust when you have to conform in a line. You'd be like this. My thing about Phoenix, and I'm talking about Phoenix, on the fact that if the Lakers don't want all three of my boys, I'm gonna go to Phoenix. If Phoenix don't want all three of my boys, I'm gonna go to another team.
New York. We gotta wrap up. I think you wanna go to
New York. Wanna take all three of my boys. Whoever gonna take all three of them, I'm good.
Coach there, and I think you wanna reunite your son with Judd Bushler. I think that's your real.
Like I say, my main goal is to have all of them on the same.
Gotta go. Stick around.
Somebody gonna take it.
Here's a quick and free way to finally stick to your New Year's resolutions. Start listening to podcasts on Spotify. With more than 150,000 podcasts, including many of the world's most popular self-improvement shows, you can learn how to balance a budget, balance your diet, and even how to feel balanced while meditating, even if you're also obsessing over when the cat was last fed. All podcasts on Spotify are free, and you can even download episodes for those times when you've gone off the grid, you know, to get all that newfound balance into your life. So get the year off right and start listening to podcasts on Spotify.
All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley, Jim Jackson and Dante Jones are back. Now let's return to the Lakers, who have some serious damage control to do after LeVar came on our show and others here on FS1 today and set the team on fire. LeVar said LeBron is old and hurt and won't win a title if the team trades Lonzo. He also added that Coach Lou Walton will be fired soon because all the players want to whoop his ass. And just for good measure, he said Magic Johnson is just the face of the team and not actually in charge.
Aye.
All right, you guys just heard we did 10 minutes with LeVar. How should the Lakers react to this criticism?
OG, you got it.
You've been over there chomping at the bit. Lakers
should not say anything. It just is what it is. It's somebody's father speaking, has a platform, talking. Lonzo hasn't done anything. As long as Lonzo's showing up every day to work, doing his job, not acting up. See, Lonzo does his job, and Lonzo plays hard. Lonzo doesn't do anything off the court. So Lonzo should be judged on Lonzo and nothing
else. Let me ask you a follow-up then before you go. Has he damaged LeBron and the Lakers? Has he turned this into a circus today, the Lakers and the whole LeBron deal?
No, he just said some things that people will whisper about the organization, about Luke. He says said things that people have said before, and that's just is what it is. Those are opinions. He has his opinion. He's expressing it. He has the platform to express it, but it doesn't make it factual. Doesn't make it true. People are not.
Damage the Lakers and LeBron?
No, not really. I mean, here's the thing is that they've been through this before with LeVar. He's speaking for his son, and that's fine. I mean, the Lakers are not going to do anything that's not conducive to what they want to do, short-term or long-term. You got to keep in mind, they got a short-term plan to win now, and what's their long-term plan post-LeBron? That's what they're dealing with in this situation. So LeVar and what he said is he's taking up for his son. Is it true in all aspects? Maybe, maybe not. In his mind, it is. The Lakers shouldn't respond to it. What they got to worry about is what's going on in that locker room, okay? And the thing I've always credited Lonzo for was this, his ability to block out the noise and still go play. He did it at UCLA, and he's doing it here with the Lakers. No matter what his role is, how he's playing, you haven't seen Lonzo come out and react any differently. So you can say what you want about LeVar in regards to what he does, but he did instill something in his son about being professional. And that's why I credit Lonzo and what he's been able to do up to this point.
Is there going to be a point where stuff like this outshines his talent? Is there going to come a point in time where the organization is like, you know what, we're not going to deal with this anymore?
Well,
because after the Lakers, if Lonzo goes to another team, is there going to come a point in time where organizations are like, we just don't want
it depends on what he does at that next team. Because as we know in the league, sometimes the better opportunity may be somewhere else. Sometimes it may not be.
True.
So he still has another lifeline if it doesn't work in L.A. to do something somewhere else. That's going to dictate what happens the next 5, 10, whatever his career is going to be in that aspect. So, yes, it does have that. But if he does his job and is able to play through a lot of that and evolve into the player we think he can be, then they're going to have to deal with it.
LeVar damaged the Lakers today?
No. One, we have to remember the origins of athletics and sports, man. There's always been meddling parents. You know, you go to a high school game right now, good Lord, don't listen to the crowd because mama is mad at coach. So you can't, like Magic's been through this. He's Teflon to this. Organizations should only be focused in on the players, the plays that they're calling, and then the people. You know, you got to get in pecking order what's most concerning, and this is nothing. This is just noise. Separate the signal from the noise.
Hasn't damaged Luke Walton.
You know what? It's interesting. Luke Walton doesn't have enough of a resume. And I don't think he has enough equity built, certainly with this organization, because he came in before Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka. So, yeah, Luke Walton, when you get into fights with your players, when you have players not playing up to optimal level, and then someone comes out and criticizes you, it gives perspective. It actually gives narrative to something that may be different. So, Luke Walton, the only way he can answer this is coaching well and the players performing. But right now, they have a player personnel development issue. A lot of guys are not getting better as a Laker.
All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley, Jim Jackson and Dante Jones are back. Let's return to the Lakers, who weren't able to pull off the trade for Anthony Davis before today's deadline. The Lakers' play for Davis didn't exactly endear them to the league, with the Pelicans calling for the NBA to investigate for tampering. Greg Popovich reportedly telling New Orleans not to deal with the Lakers, and reporters asserting that the Pelicans were just playing games with L.A. the entire time. I've heard a lot of people talk about this issue and perhaps miss a piece of this. I think the entire league, the NBA, the executives, ownership, is a little fed up with LeBron James and player empowerment. I think Greg Popovich did call Dell Demps and said, hey, man, Kawhi Leonard just wrecked my franchise. Now we got this Anthony Davis situation. Are we going to let this virus spread where ownership and executives have no control and it's all up to the players and their whims and fantasy? And so I think that the Pelicans have taken a bullet for the entire league and are standing up to Clutch Sports, LeBron James, Rich Paul. And I think this is going to this is an issue moving forward in the league. Ownership and executives are not just going to hand the league over to players.
Yeah, the league has been tired of the Lakers being above the law. Before I worked here, not only did I work on TV, but I worked on radio, the home of the Lakers. People call me a Laker hater in part because I've been working deep in detail about the Lakers for a decade plus. I know all these stories. And here's a history lesson for all you guys out here. This is when it started. Jeannie Buss and Jim Buss had some inner turmoil. They weren't talking for a second there. Jeannie Buss, governor of the Lakers, went to a meeting with all the governors. Meanwhile, since she's not talking to her brother, Jim Buss is sitting back trying to run basketball operations. What happens? Coming from that meeting, David Stern, everyone says, we want big market teams to respect small market teams. And days after that was the sentiment inside that room, Jim Buss pulls off the Chris Paul trade. Mm-hmm. He thinks. Not being in that room and not communicating with his sister who's the owner of his same franchise, all of a sudden, the NBA is sitting there saying, didn't we tell you guys? Aren't we on the same page? Nicks the Chris Paul trade. What happened from there? Oh, man, the dominoes started to fall. You saw Mark Cuban have his statements. You saw Dan Gilbert have his statements. What's going on here? We're supposed to have collective bargaining. We're supposed to work together, big markets, small markets. And since that point, look what happened in Indiana. Paul George, nah, we go somewhere else, worse offer. Look what happened to San Antonio, Kawhi, nah, go somewhere else. Look what's happening right now in New Orleans, nah, we'll just wait till we have more suitors. The league has been tired of the Lakers being above the law for nearly a decade. This is just the latest case and example.
It's a part of competition. You think that only the players are competing out there? Mm-hmm. The GMs are competing as well, and if they can stop a team from growing and getting better, especially the team that has the best player in the world at this point in time, they'll do whatever they have to. You think Pop called him, dude, it's the best thing for Dale? Like, Dale, this is the best thing for you. I think you as a GM, I think this is going to help you grow.
Might be better for the league, though.
He's competing. No, it's the best thing for San Antonio as well because they have a young core. They're trying to build. They're trying to compete in the West. Mm. And if I can stop somebody else from building something bigger than me, I'm definitely going to do it if I'm a GM. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to call and use any seeds that I have. Mm. And that's just – everybody competing. The people that called are the people that think they have a shot at building a team. You think the Suns called him like, nah, you shouldn't do this. or you think MJ put his thing in? Nah, right. You shouldn't do this. No, the Boston Celtics probably threw their hat into it. They trying to hate on a team building. The Spurs, who are a perennial powerhouse and always trying to build and always have the opportunity to be a great franchise and compete for a championship. So, yeah, it's a part of competition.
The collusion thing has been going on a long time, okay? I'm going to go back to my rookie year. Part of my lawsuit with the NBA was collusion because they got together and said, we need to stop paying these rookies these long-term and high-priced contracts. We got wind of it, and I'm about to have a lawsuit against them, okay? So they've always colluded together. That's something. Collusion is hard to prove. We were fortunate to have proof that it went down. Mm. And in this situation now, you hear the owners talking about it because, one, Jason, it benefits the league and certain teams today. But it also sets a precedent moving forward, okay? Now, the NBA got ridiculed and killed about what happened with the Chris Paul deal for stepping in. But what came about it, okay? What change was really made? Because they're still doing it right now. And I do think that it's a line that you walk in this league, especially from New Orleans, because the dilemma they deal with is this. Can we get the Lakers deal later on in July? Maybe. Zubac is gone. Can we deal with Boston? Here's a catch-22. If Kyrie is not there and you trade those assets, now Anthony Davis is in the same situation with the team with no other superstar. So you're dealing with the possibility that that might not be there. But then on the other end, you're dealing with, okay, where's the number one pick going? And how can we value that and enter that? So you got two things that may work, one in the middle that may not. So New Orleans now finds themselves in a situation where they're taking a big chance. Okay, they had something on the table, but because of the collusion part of that, they're looking out for the rest of the league and the ownership.
I think without question, because again, we started talking about at the beginning of the show, players wanting to exert power. Mm-hmm. And power just isn't handed over. Hmm. You either got to snatch it, and trust me, somebody's trying to snatch it back or stop you from snatching it. And I think a lot of teams around the league, a lot of ownership, a lot of executives around the league is like, you know what? The LeBron era has been nice and it's been good, but maybe it's gone a bit too far. And maybe we need, he's 34. I don't know if they really care if it works out for him and the Lakers, that we're going to be fine with or without LeBron James. And I think the league is trying to put LeBron, we've had enough here with the player control and you running what's going on in the league. We've had enough, and I think the Pelicans and I think the rest of the league is supporting what the Pelicans are doing.
This has been going on for years, mm-hmm. where agencies have tried to have control over franchises and the league by having more players on teams. So this is now, since we have a minority organization who has the best player in the game right now, if it's not my friend doing it, because agencies and front office have relationships and friendships. They just are not young minorities that are doing at this point in time. You've had the CAAs, SFX at one point in time, having control over a league at time, and having control over what the organization does. I have influence.
Man in Northern California.
David Falk did for a minute too.
That's what I'm saying. He controlled a lot of the transactions and what was going on which. Yeah. But now, because the ownership does not match up with
I get your point. But again, that's LeBron's agency. It was never David Falk wasn't Michael Jordan's agency, wasn't Patrick Ewing's agency.
But listen,
this is LeBron's agency.
At the end of the day,
so you're saying the optics of it from
not just the
optics. I know, but I'm saying, but what you went to break with was LeBron couldn't get the trade.
Well, LeBron could play both sides.
It wasn't Rich Paul.
Yeah, but
he wasn't a juggernaut without Michael Jordan.
Because the player could take cover and say, look, you can't call this tampering if I say I want to play with a player. Whereas an agency and an agent can sit there and get the organization to do that. You're able to do muscular moves when you're a player with your own agency. Maybe they're just upset at that. But they're just getting taxed. The rich get taxed. They're the second most rich. The second highest grossing team in the NBA behind the Knicks. You get taxed when you make that much money.
Anti-social.
Yeah.
Iceberg Jim Jackson and Dante Jones are back. Time for my favorite segment.
Reggie Theus over here.
Come on, man.
Pretty Tony.
Pretty. All right, our social media manager, Darnell Smith, is here to walk us through these Twitter streets.
What up, fella?
Sticky Smalls.
Sticky Smalls.
Don't laugh, Marcel. Don't laugh.
Sticky Smalls.
Have you heard his nickname for Jim?
What?
Beef Sweat.
All right, Shaf.
Let's get it going with some hoops.
Okay.
Where the Pacers blew out the Lakers on Tuesday, but all anyone talked about after was LeBron sitting by himself at the end of the bench, away from all his teammates. Of course, social media had a field day with this, but one person in particular decided to poke fun at him, Chris Paul. CP3 posted this picture last night after the Rockets beat the Kings with the shoulder shrug emoji as the caption. Now, we all know CP3 and LeBron are homies, but do you think he was trolling LeBron here or defending him?
I think he was defending him.
Definitely.
I think he's defending him. We doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, how come y'all ain't making a big deal about this?
Yeah, start reading into it.
But, however.
What?
You know, the only dog that barks is the one that got hit. And so, you know, that seems a little defensive to me. You got to jump to your boy's defense.
Didn't three dudes go
to the bench win the game?
They went to the game. So somebody captioned that and it said this, but they going to the scorer's table to check in. And that's why it was empty.
And they have a picture of Tyson Chandler sitting next to Bron in that same seat at the end of the game.
That's what I'm saying. My boy was at the game. He was
what'd he say?
From Indianapolis. Said LeBron didn't talk to his teammates the entire game.
That's fine.
Sitting close to.
That's fine. You can talk to his teammates. We getting beat by 40. What are we going to talk about right now? We're going to talk about social media, what's going on.
I posted it because I like my Laker trolling. It just got to happen. But beyond that, I went to the first game where the reports came out Anthony Davis wanted to come to the Lakers when they were playing the Clippers. And I ain't gonna lie, it was a lot of half hugs out there.
It was a lot of, all right, let's go. You out of control.
I'm just saying.
You out of control, this Clipper thing.
It's like this. Darnell,
what's next?
Yeah. Moving on to the NFL. After taking an L in the Super Bowl, the Rams made their way back to LA on Monday.
No disrespect.
I'm keeping it real. And you wouldn't believe how many people showed up to greet them. Seriously, it was sad, man. There was only four fans waiting for the buses to pull in.
It says three.
You know, it's four. It's one high and high somewhere. Trust me. Twitter had a ball with this. Multiple people making fun of the video.
Oh.
The Rams fan base. One person even tweeted, I see the police there for crowd control. Are we sure these people are actually Rams fans?
That ain't the question I asked.
So you're saying they planned it? They put them there?
I don't know, man. That's pretty sad.
Worse than the 3 points they scored in the Super Bowl.
That's a worse look. One person for a point?
Yeah.
It'd have been better if nobody was there.
Yeah.
It'd have been better if nobody was there.
But that's L.A. Look, I played for four different teams. Closest I got was San Diego. Like, when you play for the L.A. anything, unless you win the championship, don't come back here expecting us to take time out of our beautiful sunny day to come see y'all losers.
I mean, that's
y'all
dead wrong, man.
Y'all losers. If this was Buffalo, in a losing effort, they would have been there.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
Price, you play for
it's
a
LA.
Big city. I get it.
It's L.A.
All right, Darnell, it's time for my new favorite segment, uh-oh, Darnell's question of the day. Darnell, take it away.
It's Darnell.
This is my guy. My guy.
My question of the day. My question of the day.
285 pounds. Look at that. That's the PowerPoint. PowerPoint.
Hit him, Darnell.
What's the question of the day?
Yeah, we talked a lot recently about player mobility and athletes now having the control to or the power to control their own destiny. Today we had a question from a fan on Twitter at Barry Brothers, and he asked, "What was more important to you guys, winning or happiness?"
For me, it was happiness because I achieved my goals and I knew that I had to now take advantage of my opportunity in the league, and it was bigger than just winning a game, losing a game. I've won games and I didn't do a damn thing good on the field, and I've lost games and I balled out. So I started to just compartmentalize, like it was about my experience and doing the best I could. So it was about happiness.
At the beginning, it was all about winning, and that killed me early in my career in Dallas. We couldn't win. But then I figured out, too, as I got older, that the happiness part has to be in there. And that's why I kind of took control over when I talked about the trade to New Orleans. I wasn't going to be controlled by that, and I needed to be happy. As I got more mature, that overseeded anything else in my life.
I played for big and small market teams, and the winning brings the happiness. Winning makes the city electric. Winning makes you happier at home. It makes the environment better, and I've had my best times on a small market team that was winning because the city was all engaged in everything that was going on.
All winning did was it made it happier, better, but it was always good.
I played for the Clipper team and we were winning, and it was just like we were going to the playoffs.
So you weren't living the fantasy still?
Being
in the league?
It just was
getting that check?
It wasn't the same type of environment that came with a small market team and winning and just having the whole city engaged in what was going on.
When I was in Sacramento, I'm going to tell you what, it was unbelievable.
Right.
During the 02, 03 season, winning in Sacramento, just everything about, I don't care who we played, the fans were there. I mean, it brought the joy back in regards to loving the game again.
I'm bringing down to me and Darnell's level.
What?
Darnell,
yes, sir.
When I was in high school at Warren Central, it was all about winning.
Come on now.
When I went to Ball State, it was all about being happy and socializing, and it's one of the biggest regrets of my life. I wish I had put more into college football, but you did it the right way. Mm-hmm. Darnell was a winner in college and in high school at Warren Central and Ball State.
See you, Darnell.
I see you.
That's Darnell.
Jim Jackson and Donte Jones are back. Let's move to Kevin Durant, who went off on reporters after the Warriors win over the Spurs last night and seemed especially angry over questions about his impending free agency. Before the season began, Durant had promised to be transparent about his plans for the future, but he hadn't even been speaking to the media for the last 9 days and didn't appreciate being asked about his silence.
So we've noticed that you hadn't talked for a while. Is it anything to do with anything on your mind, or has it just been coincidence that you haven't talked for some time?
Why do you care?
Because you usually talk.
I didn't feel like talking the last couple of days.
It was anything in particular?
No, I just didn't feel like
it. Has anything to do with conversation about free agency?
Yeah, that's the conversation you're going to have. I don't think about that type of stuff. That's your job.
You've obviously been around the noise for so long. Is it bothering you more this year? Is it louder this year?
It's unnecessary. You got to do Ethan Strauss, who come in here and just give his whole opinion on stuff and make it seem like it's coming from me. And he just walk around here, don't talk to nobody, just walk in here and survey and then write something like that. And now y'all piling on me because I don't want to talk to y'all about that. I have nothing to do with the Knicks. I don't know who traded Porzingis. They got nothing to do with me. I'm trying to play basketball. Y'all come here every day, ask me about free agency, ask my teammates, my coaches. You rile up the fans about it. Y'all let us play basketball. That's all I'm saying. And now when I don't want to talk to y'all, it's a problem with me. Come on, man. Grow up. Grow up. Yeah, you grow up. Come on, bro. I come in here and go to work every day. I don't cause no problems. I play the right way. Well, I try to play the right way. I try to be the best player I can be every possession. What's the problem? What am I doing to y'all?
You're talking
So, who are you? Why do I got to talk to you? Tell me. Is that going to help me do my job better? Nah, bro. I didn't feel like talking.
I mean, how are you playing? How's the team playing in the last couple weeks?
I'm done. You know you don't care about that.
Yes.
So listen, you like that? You don't have an issue with him?
Okay, look. This is the issue here. Okay. I love Kevin Durant fully. Like, I wish I was that good. And then two, to everybody watching me, I would do just that. And I would do it. But that's not my highest being. That wouldn't be my best example of who I could be. But the thing is, the media has now, and I'm a part of it, become a place where we know that sparks and embers sell stories, which sells the game. And players are not stupid. They know that y'all looking for something. So then when I sit here, it feels like you're just baiting me. Our whole relationship is conditional, and it feels like you're trying to tell my story, but you're trying to tell it in a way that helps you and helps you sell this. And we all know positive stories don't get the same love as a negative story. So you're sitting there with that resentment, and then you're like, okay, I shouldn't just react on that alone. But then it's coupled with this. Nothing I'm gonna say right now is gonna help me in the scope of my game. Not a damn thing is gonna help me put that ball in the basket. So why am I talking to you? And when those two hit, that fire hit that gas, you get KD in that moment. I ain't mad at him.
I'm torn on KD on that one because he wants to be called the best player in the world, right?
Yeah.
And what is going on with the best player in the world right now? Every day is a question about what he ate, where he sat, what he did last night, who he talked to, who he tweeted to. That comes with the territory. There's a price to be paid with having that number one tag. And if you want it, you deal with it. You just take it in stride, you deal with the questions. Mm-hmm. But the other part I'm torn on is the fact that I see his frustration. I see a man who wants to concentrate just on basketball. He wants to be able to play basketball and let his talent speak for itself and not be asked stupid questions every day.
Get off social media.
Okay, but after he gets working, he don't want to be asked the same dumb questions. You keep trying to twist my story.
Don't sign one-year deals.
He does not want to do that.
He can't control that narrative because when you're at the elite level like he is, LeBron is, Steph is, no matter what you do, you go get questioned on something.
Right.
I've never been in that situation. Been in situations where coming out I had a little bit, and I get it, but not to that level. Mm-hmm. So it comes with the territory. It comes with being the best in the world, okay, how you choose to deal with it. And I told my son this. I said, is repercussions on what you do, positive or negative? Is the decision that you make, is it worth it for what you're trying to do, and can you deal with the consequences of it, okay? So when Kevin Durant goes off like that, that's just going to infuriate people even more to ask more questions, okay? And he's going to have to deal with it because that's the position you put yourself in as being one of the best players in the world.
But also, he lives this very transparent life. He does podcasts with everybody. He responds to Twitter trolls over social mm-hmm. media. He puts himself out there and talks about, I'm just a regular guy and blah, blah. And again, I know Tim Duncan played in a different era. He really did, and particularly was a superstar, particularly in a different mm-hmm. era. But you can, if you want to, do what Kawhi Leonard does, just play the game and take the check and not try to be a brand over social media, a brand in the podcasting world, YouTube and all that. Kawhi Leonard's doing it. Tim Duncan did it.
But those two different people. Those are two different personalities. And KD, again, KD can do what he wants, and it's going to be a social responsibility on things that happen. And I get his frustration and why he's upset about it, but when you open the door, Pandora's box, to talk about your future and you do the kind of deals you do, these are the kind of questions that media are going to continue to ask.
But the problem is also, we got to put some responsibility on the media, ourselves, the journalists. Look, first of all, this Q&A happened even before the trade deadline. We're talking about, are you going to play for the Knicks before the trade deadline, before the All-Star break, before the playoffs? Like, can we get to a place where this is even in context?
What people are interested in.
Look, they could be interested in that, but then that's what KD knows. He's like, I know what you're interested in. You're interested in the Sparks. You're interested in me over here playing my teammates currently.
The NBA is interested in.
It's
the Twitter league.
And so don't get mad when he says, you know what, I'm putting them fires out.
Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval rating for LeVar Ball. Donald Duck, Daffy Duck, what, man? What? Take.
Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, you know, what's going on, man?
Oh, Uncle Jimmy.
Damn, you got a job at Disneyland? What?
Hey, well, you know what? I don't know. But peep this out. See my little TJ Who's Mazada I got going on? That's my little TJ.
It ain't slick enough, man.
All respects to the homie, you know what I'm saying?
Look, let's get to our highlight from our discussion earlier about LeVar Ball.
Oh, man.
When you met your wife and married her, you was like, oh, I'm going to have some great athletic kids.
Yes. Growing up, especially when you're in sports. You know about this. The short ones are the bad ones. When you big and sexy like my man right here, we can talk to the 6'5", the 6-footers. You might have a little problem because you at the thing, they be looking at you down like this. Once you find one that's compatible to you, as far as she was beautiful in the sports, smart, it's a perfect match for me.
Oh, I hate to even ask you this, Uncle Jimmy, but what's your take on LeVar Ball? I'm very nervous here.
Why would you be nervous? First of all, how many times you done heard me say game recognized game? Of everybody I done met since I've been up here in Fox, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, man, ain't nothing thrilled me more than meet LeVar Ball. I got nothing but love for that brother right there.
Why is that?
Hey, bro, let me explain something to you. No matter what you hear, no matter what you say, that's the brother that's in charge of his destiny.
Right here.
In charge of his destiny, what?
That's his vision. That's his vision. Well. See? And unlike some of y'all, I took the opportunity to sit down and talk with Mr. Ball. And see, this plan that he had with these three kids, he been knowing his wife 30 years. This was a plan. The brother's 6'6". Met a beautiful woman, 6'1". Looked at her, told her, oh, me and you gonna do some breeding. Knew it was gonna be a good stop.
Lord.
Knew it was gonna be a good stop.
Ouch.
And it's been the same ever since.
Yeah. What about plan B? Because it's not all working in plan A.
Have you heard him? He don't care about a plan B. See, what our people say? Well, I'm going to speak it into existence. I got a question for y'all. Back in 1967, they had a TV show. You know what it's called?
What?
My Three Sons. About a father and his three sons. Sounds stupid, don't it? Now he talking about his sons going to play basketball. Where he want to play at? Phoenix. My Three Sons, S-O-N-S. He got plans.
S-U-N-S.
No.
How they spell it.
When he get done with the contracts, it's going to be S-O-N-S. I got nothing but respect for my boy.
All right.
Why so you playing?
We found the defender.
Ain't nobody watching
wrong.
That.
Stay wrong.
Did they syndicate that? I ain't never heard that show.
My Three Sons was a good show.
It was a good show.
I used to watch it when I was a kid. You got to be old. You got to be over 50 to catch that, or over 45. All right, let's get to our approval rating.
Nick at Night.
For LeVar Ball. Nick at Night. Job performance, I have him as the ambassador CEO of Big Baller Brand. And ambassador for his son, Lonzo. Yeah, I got to give it a 4.
What?
I don't know if that's going that well. All-time greatness, though, the man has spoken into existence. We'll never forget him.
Nick.
I got that at a 17.
Yeah.
He's causing his son a lot of problems, so I got that at a 14. Authenticity.
His jump shot's causing him problems.
I'm about to say, your game.
Not my daddy causing him problems.
Total of 53, scout team play.
Oh, that's low. I give him a GOAT status. Hey, name somebody else that got three kids. One's in the NBA, one's a probably, one's a maybe. That's good. And never, only one got in trouble. Who ain't stole Gucci glasses before? I've been there before.
I got in trouble in Kansas City. My daddy didn't come get me from the corner.
Don't let your Compton side show,
Mark. I mean, who ain't ever took a Snickers?
How about your daddy come get you over in China?
That's a GOAT right there.
Here's a quick and free way to finally stick to your New Year's resolution. Start listening to podcasts on Spotify. With more than 150,000 podcasts, including Oprah's Super Soul Conversations, The Tim Ferriss Show, Happier with Gretchen Rubin, and The Nutrition Diva, you can learn how to balance a budget, balance your diet, and how to feel balanced while meditating, even if you're still wondering if the cat's been fed. All podcasts on Spotify are free, and you can even download episodes for those times when you've gone off the grid. You know, to get that all newfound balance into your life. So start the year off right with podcasts on Spotify.